If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
It's been a very emotional week and a lot going on, and there's one thing on people's minds, basically. What are we in the middle of? Can America survive what we've seen as mob rule this week? And is this the best way to solve America's problem? That's what we want to know from you this afternoon, everybody. Yeah. So if you could start putting your comments here on the Facebook feed here at Facebook Live, love to hear from you. I'd love to react to your comments throughout the program this afternoon.
Yeah, please jump into the pool here with us. It's very difficult to try to put all this together in your head. We have too many things going at once. We have got, of course, a killer pandemic, which is bad enough. Then here we go. In addition to that, we have a terrible act that served to light the fuse of a powder keg that presumably has been festering and sitting there for a long, long time. So we get this complete panic, people going wild in the streets, the public disorder, looting, which has apparently been taken as a civil right now. And then you have the economy on its knees. And you could go on, but I think that's enough. How you pull all this together, I don't know. But as Bob had suggested, how will we come out of this? What do you think? How are we going to be standing, really?
And what are the solutions? Are there any solutions that come to mind right now? Because it seems like it's a little bit complex in some areas. Yeah. Jim, you're talking about the killing of that poor man, George Floyd. I mean, it's just horrible that his protest, the outrage of his death is being used. Mm-hmm. It is being weaponized to be disguised for rioting and looting and just lawlessness.
Well, the Democratic leadership and progressive leadership, I should say, is playing divide and conquer like Isaac Stern played the violin. But they are geniuses at it. And they've gotten everybody divided. Then you get people worked up, often very good people who are very emotional about this, who've had bad experiences themselves. They want to be heard. This is great. This is fine. This is their right. I encourage it. But then here comes what we're told anyway, many of them on George Soros's payroll, who get their $300 a night for rioting. They come in and then try to take things over. These are the fascist anti-fascist, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, apparently that's what's happened to many of the rallies here in New Jersey. Many have started out as peaceful and very constructive, and then all of a sudden, something snaps, and then the violence starts, then the looting starts. I mean, Trenton, they had a terrible time. Police were attacked. Two police cars were torched. Atlantic City, they had looting at the end of their rally. The outlets called the Walk. Many stores were vandalized, and all because of just a couple of few people that sparked that fuse.
Now, there have been a couple of people arrested for that. The last one I saw, and I'm not sure, it possibly was Atlantic City, but I'm not sure which one of the looting events took place. And he, a young guy, and he was arrested and charged because he apparently had gone online. I don't know why people would pay attention to what he said, saying, "Let's go start a riot." And he did. And when he was stopped, he had the car, so I read, full of certain bits of weaponry, gasoline bomb and all. He was arrested. Now he's complaining and crying about how badly he was treated because they took him to the police station. They didn't give him anything to eat. Well, he is quite lucky that a little hunger pang is the only thing he got out of that. But this is going on all over the place. Where it goes, the talk about, what is it, defunding, I guess, police departments are cutting back on funding.
Defunding the
police. That is the dumbest idea I ever heard. Obviously, when you, in any culture, when you emasculate law enforcement, then this opens it up for people who do not follow the law, by definition. And who's going to be the worst hurt? They're going to be the people. Well, for example, how many killings were there in Chicago over the Memorial Day weekend?
I think at least 30.
Every city, every day, I check out, like, well, Philadelphia, for example, one of the station's website and Jersey websites and the like. And in the city, every day, there is a shooting of somebody.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, and then again, the cry is to crack down and to blame the law enforcement people. That is absolutely absurd. I don't know. I mean, let me tell you something. That back when I was doing the morning show on the radio station, let's go to the middle 90s, doing the racial profiling commotion that went on. Remember that?
Right, with Governor Whitmer.
Everything. Yep. The police were really, put in the barrel here. But we've got racial profiling. Everybody's being arrested because of their race. And it went on and on. Now, the big people protesting, really pushing this, they were lawyers, because they came up with a bunch of lawsuits. State police, what was happening, the state police were interdicting certain vehicles on the drug alley, which is the turnpike or the parkway. And they had a profile of the likely drug smugglers. And it was a pretty doggone good. And it came from the federal government. It didn't come from New Jersey. It was passed down by the Clinton drug enforcement people. Look for this kind of car. Look for people who are doing this. Look for this inside the car. This is what the drug smugglers do. Anyway, the police were up against it. There was all cut, just like now, really. And I got on the air one day just to see, and I thought I'd get not a call. But here's what happened. I said, I'd like to hear from minority people. If there are people in the minority, in spite of what we hear, who have had very good experiences with the New Jersey State Police. And I thought I'd be lucky if I got a call. I did 2 solid hours, one phone call after another, people of various, minorities, mostly the African-American, saying, yes, I got in this pickle and this trooper came by and so positive it kept going. The next day I did it again and I got a solid hour out of it. And so, and this is the same time that the race hustlers and the political hustlers are trying to demean the police.
Right.
Everything is upside down, it seems. Fingers are all being pointed in the wrong directions. It's like, remember Murphy's Law?
Not Governor Murphy's Law.
Well, it Real could Murphy. Be. It could be. Maybe it was a good prediction years ago. The Murphy's Law says if anything can go bad, it will.
Maybe that is Governor Murphy's Law. Yeah.
That's where they got it, retroactively. Okay, I've blown off a little steam here. But one of the problems is that all these things that I mentioned, the horsemen of the apocalypse, if you want, it's done against the background of a political campaign, and everything is being politicized. Nothing is being done by reason. Now, if you can form a mob by definition does not reason. They have no reasonable excuses for or guidance for their actions. It's all very, very emotional. And so there is no control over that. So the mob becomes a single entity with one mind. And that is whatever they are goaded into, which all too often is destruction. So how long this goes on, I do not know.
Well, there are more protests scheduled for this weekend. I believe Bayonne has one this afternoon, Hoboken, and several others throughout the state. And let's hope they stay peaceful and focused on the real issues at hand, on what people are really concerned about, and hope they don't get clouded with all of this mob and rioting and just horrible.
Well, what is being presented here, and it's something that's been out there, but it's never like this, because now it has legs, it has teeth, is a false narrative of this whole cultural system that we have. I got just 10 minutes before we started, I checked my email, and I have an email from the water company.
Right.
That's the water company. And the email from the water company is somehow rebuking me for my racial injustice.
What? What? The water company?
Well, it was not personal. I'm sure this is a mass mailing for the customers.
Right.
Maybe it's only white customers. I don't know. And how they would know, I don't know. But it says racial injustice is wrong, and it is inconsistent with the values of your water company. Well, I'm happy for them about that. I think they're wonderful.
Oh, man.
I'd turn their water off right away if I didn't need it. but it seems like everybody's caught up in this great, illusion, you know, part of it, too.
Yeah.
I tell you, you had sent me, I don't know if you want to bring this up or not, because I really don't, I don't want to do anything to, discourage or have the person discouraged who did it. But this young woman, who you knew her name, I have not heard of her before.
In fact, as we get into that topic, one of our viewers out there, Frank Mervin, just shared the link that you're going to talk about.
Okay.
The great commentator Candace Owens.
All right. Now, Candace Owens, I have huge respect for her. There is one courageous lady, but she is right. Here is a person of color, as they say, who is operating rationally by using her head rather than her heart. And she covers properly the proper attitude toward what happened, the event, the terrible event that set this up. But then she gets into the facts surrounding it and this smoke that's being blown by the race hustlers and the political hustlers around this to create advantage for themselves. Is the link still up? I thought maybe publicizing the link would cause shut her link down.
It's on the feed right now. Frank posted it on the comment section here on the Facebook.
Okay.
So if you want to pick that up, anybody, you can follow Frank Mervin's.
But okay, what she is saying, and please do that, because it would be such a poor paraphrasing if I tried to do it. But here is a highly intelligent, rational person looking at this. And I would have to say that I would certainly endorse everything she said. But I tell you, Bob, afterward, I think it was yesterday you sent me that, last night, I happened to turn on a television set, not mine, because I haven't had television for a week. I'll tell you about that in a while, which is a blessing. Thank you, Lord, the fact that I didn't have to watch this crap for a week. But I saw another person and then another one doing pretty much the same thing, with pretty much the same approach to this, a very rational approach by Black people, African-American, highly intelligent people. My feeling is that the country is full of people like that. But most of them are intimidated. Again, do you understand how that works? They're
if you go on Candace's Twitter feed, she's being vilified by everybody. Oh, block her. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Of course.
She's being paid and, she's not one of us type deal.
That's exactly right. Because what she's doing, she is pointing out that the emperor does not have clothes. And this emperor that's being presented to us about this whole situation in America is smoke and mirrors. And it's all to the advantage of certain, elements who are going to take great advantage of this. I hate to keep saying the Democrats, because, Democrats are not like that, the party itself. Those progressives who have hijacked that honorable party, they want the destabilization of the government and of the economy so they can walk in. They will churn this. The politicians will churn this thing right up until the election. Now, what they're doing, they will say the country's in chaos. Only we can save you from this. Look at the mess the other people have made. Governing in America is our right because we are right. Their self-righteousness just drives me crazy. But the thing is, if make a little analogy of it, go back to some medieval time And here's people in a village, and a knight comes riding in saying, oh, there's a dragon. There's a terrible dragon sitting out there in a cave outside town. And the people go out, and they take a look and say, oh, God, there is. There's a dragon sitting back there in a cave. And he was snorting fire. And the knight says, look, it's going to cost a lot, but I have to put a group together here, and I have to fund them. Put all your money in a pot. Everybody give me all of your money. Make me the king, and I'll go out and slay the dragon.
Yeah.
So they go out and they put all the money in pots, everything valuable they had down to the last bean, give it to him. He becomes king. Then he gets on the horse and rides out. Well, it turns out the dragon is a couple of his buddies in a dragon suit.
Yeah.
So they set it up in the first place. So here's the Democratic leadership. They are they are pointing out results of the corruption and this so-called swamp ethos in Washington that they have created, they have maintained. And also, they want to jump after the police. Who runs the police? It's usually the judicial system sets the tone for police. The judicial system has been in the hands of progressives for years, mm-hmm. and Democrats. And so, but the thing is that they will blame it on the Republicans, and they will take the turmoil that they have caused and encouraged, and then say, we will save you from it. Elect us.
Well,
it's such a transparent, ridiculous trick. But I hope people will watch it. Now, look, I'm not suggesting that everybody agree with this woman. What's your name, Candace?
Candace Owens.
I'm not suggesting that you necessarily agree with it, but look at it.
It's worth
it. And consider there are two sides, maybe, to some of this. I think she may have been, in my view, a little bit hard, maybe on the victim in this, but she did it very reasonably by pointing out that here is a case where we are being urged to canonize a person who was not a saintly person, who had, I think, as she pointed out, very heavy content of drugs in his system at the time.
Right.
Had been arrested and jailed a good number of times. Once for, well, it was a terrible crime. It's a pregnant woman.
You'll figure it out. It's a 19-minute clip.
Yeah, you don't have to agree with it, but at least see before this tsunami sweeps over everybody.
Right.
At least take a look at it. Oh, you were talking about the social media.
Yes.
I guess the behemoths of the social media.
Yeah.
This is what Facebook. Who we got? Twitter.
Instagram.
Instagram. Google, of course, in the woodpile. I use Google. I had no use for Facebook or Twitter or the like. Anyway, they together are suing. They're bringing a lawsuit against the federal government to forbid the federal government from interfering with their business, their pursuit. And they say to interfere with their operations is a violation of their First Amendment right to free speech. And yet these same people take away the right to free speech from people who want to do postings that are not in concert with their political philosophy. That's why I was afraid this lady would have that somehow expunged from the from the cloud.
Right.
But maybe not, yeah, but in time. But they claim the right. They will cut things. I think recently it was Twitter who had decided that they're going to counter everything the president tweets or tweets or whatever.
Police his comments.
Twitter are going to police his comments now. Well, isn't that a violation of his First Amendment right?
Yeah.
And so others, they have stopped it. It's pretty well known that many postings on these various platforms have been taken down.
Yeah.
Not that they were doing anything seditious or wrong or obscene or immoral, but simply because they disagreed with the party line of this platform.
Right.
Now, if that's not a violation of the First Amendment, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
And yet you could show the most horrible, lurid depictions, and that's okay. But don't violate the politically correct line. And that's the thing, that's what we're being forced into here.
And you bring up a great point, you know, for people, you suggest them to look at the Candace Owens video and come to your own conclusion. Our own Dennis Malloy posted a great article on the NJ1015.com website and on his show page. It's called "The Media is Corrupt and It's Manipulating You." Basically, just to sum it up, Dennis says, pure honest journalism is almost non-extinct these days. You need to research to find the truth, and you definitely have to read past the headline because it's being manipulated for their own narrative, and the media has been stoking the fires of hate and violence this past week or 10 days. Well written, Dennis, and I suggest everybody check that out on the Dennis page, on the Dennis and Judy page.
Dennis got involved in a thing. I don't think Dennis would mind my telling this because I thought it was so patently ridiculous. I was furious about it. In that he had made a comment on the air, as people do. You're doing a program. And it was, I don't know whether to tell the whole thing or not, but he was commenting on a public figure's dress, article of apparel. And it happens that this particular person was of a minority group. So naturally, what hit the fan. Now, the person that Dennis had supposedly done this terrible, disparaging remark about, he didn't make much of it. He took it like, a grain of salt. But the governor jumped in. Oh, the radio station, the racist radio station. And so anyway, Dennis read an apology, which had just made my toenails curl up, in which he apologized for the pain that it caused the Asian community. Hmm. Now, right after that, the next day, I went out and I said, well, the Asian community, especially this one particular group, is in pain. And I went to get gas, and here came an attendant, and he was of that group. And I said, man, I'm awfully sorry for your pain. I really admire you coming into work and working out here when you're in so much pain. He said, are you crazy? So, no, aren't you in pain? Well, I'm not in pain. I feel great. What's the problem? I didn't explain it to him. But here was a person of that group who's supposed to be in this awful pain. He didn't know. I did the same thing at the hostess at a Japanese restaurant we went to and congratulated her on being so gracious in spite of all this pain. And she looked at me like I was crazy. They almost threw me out. Never heard of any such thing. But this is how this goes. And also, I guess the parallel to that is Drew Brees, the quarterback.
Right.
For the Saints.
For the Saints.
He made a statement, and I don't have the statement in front of me, but it was pretty innocuous, saying that he did not follow any kind of a credo or agree with anything that what brought. Do you know how he said? In other words, it was somehow he didn't support his country. It was a patriotic thing. In other words, he's saying, I know all the stuff's going on, but I've got to say, in spite of all the criticism that's coming, I love my country. He had to get down on his hands and knees and grovel for the pain he caused.
Right.
You're causing pain. This is now.
Where is his First Amendment rights to speak?
He had them, but again, if he wants to continue playing ball, I guess, and making a living, you have to go along because see, these people do not hesitate to intimidate the hell out of you if you don't follow their line.
Right.
So I guess the lesson here is I don't have answers. I'm very anxious to see what happens when the smoke clears. But try to look at this somewhat reasonably through some lens of reason and say, are these things true? Is this true? Has this gone too far? Everybody now is down on police. This is absolutely insane. Insane. I don't know this for a fact. I would bet that in spite of the fact that these hustlers are trying to create an impression that every policeman in America is out to do harm to every minority citizen in the country, I'll bet that you will find somewhere there's somebody whose life was saved by a policeman today.
And how many minority officers were either hurt or killed over these last 10 days of protests and unrest? I mean, one man that comes to mind that You probably saw that. St. Louis Police Captain David Dorn. He was 77 years old. He was head of his department. I think he was recently retired, just working part-time. And he was killed defending a pawn shop owner.
Mm-hmm.
Or a gun shop owner, one of those. But he was killed in one of the riots. It's just horrible. It's just
and nobody's rioting over that. Nobody's got demonstrating about that. How many policemen in Dallas were shot?
Yes.
About a year ago?
Yeah.
Just because they were policemen in a racial incident. The two police in New York who were assassinated sitting in their patrol car.
Yeah, about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But that, no, where is your outrage? Where is your outrage?
Right.
I think the sympathy, the outpouring of emotion, disgust, if you want, over this film that people saw of this terrible incident, well justified.
Yeah.
But then when you allow your good emotions to be controlled, to be fueled and stoked by people out for some political or economic advantage, you think about it. Don't let them do it to you.
Right. Don't abdicate your opinion. Come up with a good individual feeling and go with it. You know, if you want to have change, then facilitate in a peaceful, a peaceful way that's going to be constructive.
And don't buy the opening line of the progressive playbook is America is an evil country. Now, this is what they're playing to. This is the progressive justification for all this change. It is an evil country. Look, it is not an evil country. This is probably the least evil of any country in the world right now. When you look at all the good things that go on by people of all persuasions, races. And so here is what essentially is kind of in a sense, almost a tempest in a teapot that has just exploded.
Right.
But it's okay to explode with sympathy, with certainly your demands that somehow we don't have to see this again from either side to either side. But don't let yourself become a pawn in a political battle.
Right.
Which is what's going on right now, trying to really discredit the government. Now, just remember, for people who say, well, no, you know, it's a naughty thought. But this also, you could almost serve it as a poll, a presidential election poll. Because everybody out there is going to vote Democratic. And the people that stayed home aren't. I don't know. That's not a scientific poll. But you know, the instigators, the leaders in this thing generally have been associated with that one area. And I'm certainly not holding the other party as being innocent. I'm just holding them as being a party that's totally ineffective anymore. So I don't consider them relevant.
So obviously the virus recovery here in the state has taken a back seat to this story. But we are getting some reopenings gradually, not as quickly as a lot of people would like. The governor is making announcements by the day. The DMV offices are going to be phased in to be opened up over the next couple of weeks. Outdoor dining next couple of weeks. Salons will be opening by the 22nd. Graduations July 6th. And Eric had a great town hall last night with State Senate President Steve Sweeney. He was on the air with Eric. And Eric basically asked him, are some of the governor's policies of reopening arbitrary? And Sweeney said yes, because he's asked the governor to see the data, because the governor's driven by data with regards to opening, and he has not gotten a response from the governor. So,
well, the governor's got his butt in the sling anyway this week. We have to pay $1 million in a lawsuit because of his refusing to be open about that. That is the sex suit.
Yeah.
The rape suit that took place. Also, I understand that he had fired one of his top people, but he won't say why. He will not say why. So the assumption is that somebody had argued with Big Brother.
Right.
And I am the great I am. And,
Jim, it's got to have something. I mean, we haven't been given a reason, because it's being called a personnel matter. But it's got to have something to do with the 20 to 25% of the deaths with the COVID related to nursing homes. It's got to have something to do with that. Somebody dropped the ball somewhere.
I would like to have an answer to all this. I don't. I think what you have suggested, that Dennis may be very close to it. And, of course, the media is going to go along with the party to whom they toady, hoping for some advantage themselves. So yeah, it's a mess. It's a pool paw. There's no doubt about it.
I'm gonna look that one up. I think that's pretty apropos for what's going on these days.
Well, I tell you, I got to do a lot of reading because I haven't had television all week. Something happened with my TV part of my cable package, and they couldn't figure it out. The technical people could not figure it out. Now, of course, for about 3 days, they don't come out because, and I understand this, they try to do everything electronically. So I'm sitting here for an hour at night going through all this with some very nice person sitting in Pakistan or, you know, wherever they are, Upper Slobovia, I guess. And they're trying to go through. I'm trying to understand him or she. They're trying to understand me. We go through this, and they were very good, really. So they checked out things. We swatched boxes and everything. Nothing happened. Finally, today, I get somebody who come out. So for the first time, just about an hour or so before we went on the air, I saw my first television, and it happened to be tuned to a news channel. After 5 minutes, well, you saw the result of it. I'm sitting here babbling. I can't grasp it.
Well, you got all night to watch TV. You got it back, and I hope you have a good weekend. I think it was a great show, great exchange of thoughts here on the on the Facebook feed, and always great to get your perspective, Mr. Gerhardt. It's always welcome, and especially in this very, very trying time.
Well, thank you, Bob. And everybody, try to, I can't say chill. They won't let you. but try to look at this rationally and not emotionally. Don't buy, and again, I think as Dennis has suggested in the piece, don't buy everything you read on either side, even the alternate press, which I guess is Fox as opposed to everybody else. There's still stuff that you really have to examine it yourself, try to dig and get accurate information. Yeah. And so there's a whole lot of bull bucky filling the talk about the internet cloud. I mean, this cloud going to get a little gamey out there with all this stuff in the air. Anyway, have a great week. Try to stay calm. Try not to stress because this might well, you know, give a little kickstart to the virus again. So, you know, just try to be cool.
Yeah. All right. So we'll be good back at our regular time next Thursday at 10:30. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you then.
Thanks, everybody. May God be with you.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.